I want to bounce back and not be buried by life and by loss. I want to not only survive, but I want to thrive again. I want to live a hope-infused life, not a hopeless life.
Those are some exceptional goals for life, but what if depression is dragging you down and you don't know if you're ever going to be able to get up and keep going? That's the topic we're going to be talking about today on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller.
Kay Warren is our guest speaker today, John, and I can't think of anyone better suited to discuss this topic than Kay, who not only has struggled with depression herself, but also spent years trying to help her son Matthew battle his own depression, a battle they lost when he committed suicide at the age of 27.
That was a terrible tragedy.
It really was, John, but the amazing thing is that Kay has found hope again through Christ, and she wants to share what she's learned through this process. Kay is an author and speaker and co-founder with her husband Rick of Saddleback Church in Mission Viejo, California.
Here now is Kay Warren on Focus on the Family.
I want to talk to you today about resilience and hope, because this is a world in which it's really easy to become disappointed, to become disillusioned, to even sink into despair. So for me, I want to look at somebody who can show me how to get through some of the hard times. And the Apostle Paul is one of those people that is just one of my heroes. And in Romans 8, 35, 37 to 39, you can listen while I tell you, because he explains some of the things that he's gone through and how he maintains hope. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." If you were to pay attention and underline, there are 17 different things in just those few verses that Paul says, here are things that threaten to separate us, threaten to take away our hope, threaten to knock us down. There are 17 things in just those few verses that he says, I face these things. 2 Corinthians 11 is another place where he gives us an even more specific list of what he's gone through. He says, I've been shipwrecked multiple times. He said, I've been beaten with rods and stones. I've been starving. I've been abandoned by my friends. I've been homeless. I've been imprisoned unjustly. He says, I've been persecuted. I've been accused of things I never did. And still, he says, nothing is going to separate me from the love of Jesus Christ, of God that I found in Jesus Christ. He says, these things cannot drown out hope. So I want to just think about you today and give you an opportunity to make this very personal. I'm going to share with you where these are personal things to me. There's a little list in the middle of your outline, if you haven't looked at that yet, that lists about six things, not 17, but about six things that I think can lead us at times to feel hopeless and helpless and overcome by circumstances. So the very first thing there is a traumatic event. And if you've experienced any of these, you want to just might want to put a little check by them, or at least a mental check mark to say, yep, that's me. A traumatic event, and by that what I mean is something that happened to you when you were a small child. Maybe you experienced sexual abuse in your home, maybe there was physical abuse, maybe you saw physical violence in your home, or you were a recipient of violence, maybe you saw your mom or one of your siblings abused, maybe you witnessed a traumatic event in your community or natural disaster. The psychiatrists and social scientists call that adverse childhood events. And they're not benign. They're not just, oh, you know, that kind of stuff happens to everybody. When you as a child experience traumatic events, you don't have the cognitive ability yet or the language or the words to be able usually to articulate how those things affected you. And so over time, they have found that when you've had traumatic things as a little kid, it can affect how you do in school. It can affect your emotional and mental health. It can affect whether you abuse alcohol or drugs, whether you abuse sex, whether you get into fights, into trouble, end up in jail. I mean, these adverse childhood events are powerful in our lives. For me, I was molested when I was about 5 or 6 by the son of the church janitor where my dad was pastor. Pastored little churches in San Diego, and I still don't really know how it happened that as a child that young, I got separated from them at church long enough for this to happen, but it did. And I know that that childhood abuse scarred me, affected my views of sex and sexuality and my developing emotional nature, and was one of those things that I've dealt with all my life. Something that happened so long ago. And if you have experienced a traumatic event as a child, make a little check by that. Second thing that I would say, that a category of things that can cause us over time to maybe lose hope or lose our ability to cope with things are strained relationships. And I'm thinking there in particular of those really primary relationships, a relationship within your family, a relationship in a marriage, a really close friendship that goes through terrible, terrible conflict that's disruptive. We've told our story so many times through these years. Rick and I have been married almost 43 years, but they've not been easy years. We have struggled a lot and had a lot of conflict through the years. We're so very different. So very different. Did I say that we're very different? We are so very different. And of course, that causes conflict in relationships. But also, you know, there's somebody in our relationship who can be really stubborn and pig-headed and self-absorbed and a little prideful. And, you know, so not only are we different, but we bring into the relationship our faults and our weaknesses, and our particular faults, my particular faults and weaknesses have caused us difficulty, so much so, in all honesty, that if we did not, both of us, believe that the vow we took before our family and God, you know, nearly 43 years ago, we would have divorced. There have been so many times, honestly, that I have in my journal written, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't say I'm sorry one more time. I can't ask for forgiveness one more time. I can't offer forgiveness. This is just too hard. We are too different. I can't do it. That's the honest truth. So serious marriage problems throughout the years. How about you? I mean, has there been in your marriage just a lot of difficulty or a primary relationship, conflict in your family with parents or siblings or a deep friendship that's just gone through some ruptures? If so, make a check there. Serious health problems is another category where a lot of us have lived and are continuing to live. For me, I was diagnosed with breast cancer and melanoma. I've had both. And without early treatment and the treatment that I've gotten through the years, either one of those would have killed me. And if you've ever had a cancer diagnosis or some other really serious health condition, you can probably relate to that sense of, I am in a battle for my very life. And it can be difficult and challenging and take you to the limits of where you've struggled ever before in your life. Crushing disappointment could be a category that you've experienced. For me, I would say this is the least of these categories that I've struggled with. I wouldn't classify what I've gone through in some ways as crushing disappointment, but I'm talking about things like you planned your whole life. I mean, since you were a little kid, you knew the career that you wanted. You knew the direction you were headed. You dreamed of this career, and it didn't happen. And inside of you, there's that sense of dissatisfaction of something that was crushing that you really wanted. Maybe you got married, and you thought, within a few years, we're going to have kids. That's what happens, right? You get married, you have kids. This happens to everybody. Only it didn't happen for you. And so there's that crushing disappointment of dreams not realized. I don't know what that might look like for you. For me, it was much simpler than that. It was, I just wanted to be somebody incredibly special, and I didn't have a lot of confidence in myself and saw myself as very inadequate and really not worth a whole lot. My big career goal was as a young child was to be Miss America. So, you know, I'm not totally crushed that it didn't happen, but there was, for some of you, man, this is real. This is real for you. You live with a disappointment. You might check that off. An unchangeable circumstance. If you've been around here, you know that our son Matthew lived with mental illness, and he was diagnosed with mental illness with depression at 7. I didn't even know children could have mental illness. I didn't even know that was a real thing, but it was. And his lifetime then was just a constant, felt like series of another diagnoses. It was, you know, depression and then ADHD and then panic disorder and then early onset bipolar and then suicidal thoughts and ideation. And by the time his teenage years, major depressive disorder and body dysmorphic disorder and OCD and borderline personality disorder. Oh my goodness, how he struggled and suffered. And despite our best efforts to help him manage, maybe could he be cured, could something be done, it became an unchangeable circumstance in our lives. And for you, it may be a mental illness, maybe you were in an accident and you lost a limb, or you lost the use of a limb, or you've had a stroke and you've been left with, your body just doesn't work the way it used to, or maybe there's been some other thing that, maybe you're a caregiver of a child who has a serious physical illness, and it's unchangeable. And sometimes in those places of unchangeable circumstances that just won't budge, we can become overwhelmed and lose our hope and lose our ability to keep going. And then painful loss. Matthew died by suicide 4.5 years ago. Mental illness finally took a toll that he couldn't do on any other day. And if you've never lost a child, you would probably look at somebody else who's lost a child and say, "Kay, 4.5 years, come on, you need to move on a little bit. Come on, you gotta rally here. You can't still be in deep grief." And I would tell you, for me at 4.5 years, it feels like the blink of an eye. And if you can say that, maybe thinking you're saying the right thing, trying to encourage me, I would just tell you, you don't know what it's like to lose a child. And anybody who's ever lost a child knows it's a grief that you struggle for the rest of your life to get through. But maybe you didn't lose a child, but you lost someone so dear to you, so dear to you. And that deep, deep pain, you wonder if you'll ever really be happy again. So if you've experienced a traumatic event or events in your childhood, or a serious health concern, or a painful loss, or a crushing disappointment, or something, check those boxes. Because here's what I want to say about this. How do we survive the hard times? There are some of you that checked every one of those boxes, and you could have checked about 10 other boxes had there been other options, because you've gone through a lot. Some of you only checked one box, and maybe it was the one strained relationships, because I don't believe that you haven't at least had some relationship in your life that was very strained and caused you some heartache. So whether you've gone through a whole lot in your life, or you've gone through something a little bit less intense, some people will face those things and be tanked by the one. And over here, there are people who may face incredible difficulties and they're able to get up. They're still standing. What makes the difference? Well, studies have shown that the people who survive, but not only thrive in the face of trauma and conflict and life-threatening illnesses and crushing disappointments and circumstances beyond their control and painful, devastating losses, are not necessarily the people we might think. It's not the wealthiest. It's not the most intelligent. It's not the most highly educated. It's not the people of any race or gender or anything. It has nothing or very little to do with those things. It has everything to do with how resilient you are inside of you, inside your spirit. Resilience means able to withstand or recover quickly from difficult conditions. Strong, tough, hard, buoyant, floats. Irrepressible, can't keep them down. Flexible, pliable, supple, durable. Able to become strong, healthy or successful again after something bad happens. These are the people who can rise from the ashes. These are the people who can bounce back. These are the people who are still standing no matter what has happened. Well, let me just give you a little, you know, story of resilience that you can maybe relate to. A few Christmases ago, my son Josh wanted one of those remote control helicopters that you see in like Sky Mall magazine or something, you know, that has all these weird little things that you can order. And so he really, really wanted this little remote control helicopter. So of course his wife got it for him and he's flying it around our living room. And it's so cute. This tiny almost looks like just a giant bee, you know, this thing's flying around through our house and it hit a wall. And it hit the wall, fell to the ground, completely shattered. I mean, that thing was not resilient. He got about 5 minutes worth of pleasure out of this little remote control helicopter. But at that same Christmas, our grandkids all wanted Legos, girls and boys. And so there's Lego sets all over the place in our house. And I just want to tell you that Legos, I've decided, are the most resilient thing in the world. Because if you have ever put your knee on one of those Legos that's in the carpet as you're searching for all the ones that fell off the table or stepped on a Lego with your bare foot, you know that you will never be able to kill the Lego. The Lego will kill you. They are the most resilient things ever made. Well, so scientists look at this and they say, so is resilience genetic? Is it just the people who somehow in their genetic line have passed on resilience from generation to generation? And so those are the people who can survive and thrive when things get really, really rough. And the truth is, even though there might just be, you know, a shade of an advantage to some people who have a genetic predisposition to resilience, what they really have concluded is that resilience is a set of skills that can be learned. Woohoo! That means that the rest of us can learn resilience, and I want to learn it. It can be taught because I want to bounce back and not be buried by life and by loss. I want to not only survive, but I want to thrive again. I want to live a hope-infused life, not a hopeless life. Well, I can't say everything that there is to say about resilience in the time that we have, but I want to give you what I would say are three things that you need to know about resilience. But I want to give you the biblical definition, which the Bible uses the term perseverance or endurance when it what you and I might call resilience. In Romans 5:3, it says this, "We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope." So there's this process that we can all go through. It doesn't say here that some people rejoice in their suffering and therefore they learn perseverance and therefore hope. It says we. It's talking about all of us, which means it's within the reach of every one of us to go through hard times and to develop perseverance, resilience, and through that, develop character that allows us to become different people, and that through that, we have hope. That's a process I want to be a part of. So let me give you these three things that I would say about resilience that I think will help you in facing whatever you're going through today. The first is this: life is harder than you ever expected. Life is harder than you ever expected. For those of us who live here in the West, the Western part of the world, we have somehow got it in our brains that life is supposed to be easy. And when the wheels fall off the bus in our life, when the carpet is yanked out from underneath us, when we step on that banana peel and go sliding and fall flat on our faces, we are shocked. I mean, shocked. And then from that shocked place, we become angry. And from that angry place, we end up with confusion and disillusionment, as though life was supposed to be easy, and life was supposed to be relatively painless, and life was supposed to be comfortable, and when it's not, we don't know what to do. And we say things like, how could this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to us? And we're shocked that life is hard. And for the rest of the world, You know, for those of us who live here, we have it, like I said, in our minds that life is relatively easy. But for the rest of the billions and billions of people around the world today, they know that life is hard. Let me just give you a couple examples here of what I would call first world problems and third world problems. So a first world problem would be this. I go into my walk-in closet and I look at the racks of shoes, and I'm not going to tell you how many there are, but I look at the racks of shoes in my walk-in closet and I say to myself, I wonder which pair of shoes is going to go best with my outfit today. That's a first world problem. A third world problem would be this. My one pair of shoes was stolen last night. You guys, the Bible is crystal clear about how hard life really is. Job 5:7, the man who lost everything, who's the prototype for suffering, says, "Yet man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward." You think of a fire pit at Doheny Beach where you've lit your bonfire and the sparks, you know, they fly upward. That's just what they do. That's what they're going to do. And in that same way, life is hard and we're born to trouble. Jesus said in John 16:33, he says, guys, in this world, you will have trouble. He doesn't say, you know, some people are going to have some hard times. Some people are going to really face some struggles. He just says, in this life, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have problems. Sometimes people find life so hard and so overwhelming and so debilitating that they end up taking their lives. As you heard, today is World Suicide Prevention Day, and you probably don't know this, but about almost a million people in the next year will take their lives around the world. 44,000 in the United States. It's the number two cause of death for people between 10 and 34 in the United States. I mean, it's a problem. And the people who die when they take their own lives are not wanting to die. Most of the time, it's just because things have gotten so hard that they can't see a way out. They can't see any other way for the pain to stop. And the Bible is so real about this too. Job, this man who lost his family, who lost his home, who lost his crops, who lost his livelihood, was covered with boils on his body from head to toe in terrible pain. This man that's in the Bible talks about being at that place of just not wanting to live. Job 17:11-13, he says, my days have passed, my plans have failed, my hope is gone. My friends say night is daylight. They really don't get it. They say light's near, but I know I remain in darkness. My only hope is the world of the dead, where I will lie down to sleep in the dark. Oh man, that's a man in despair. And the first way to build resilience in your life, to rebuild hope again, is to accept that life is harder than you ever thought it was going to be. Start setting more realistic expectations for yourself. Just know that profound difficulty is the way we roll on this broken planet. It is what life is. Don't get freaked out when things aren't as easy or as simple or as uncomplicated as you thought they were going to be. Anticipate change as our normal human experience. Change is the normal human experience. And when you can start from that platform of life is harder than I thought it was going to be, you're on your way towards resilience.
John, I can't imagine how difficult it would be to lose your son to suicide. But we have had a suicide in our extended family, so unfortunately, I do know what she's talking about. I've observed it, and that grief through my wife's side of the family. And for those who are left behind, there is so much guilt. Everyone asks themselves, how did we fail? Why did he or she think suicide was the only option? It's a very difficult time for the entire family and the person's circle of friends.
Well, I can't imagine. It really must help to have a supportive church family who can help you during that time. We trust that if you're struggling with this situation, this difficulty, this tragedy, that you will seek out a Bible-believing church to support you. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for listening to Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller.
When you listen to Kay Warren speak of the suffering that we as humans will face in this life, and even her own incredibly sad loss and hurt, it's hard to fathom. And yet, our great God says that we can still find hope in the midst of our suffering if we persevere. If you've faced devastation in your own life, you will likely have identified with what Kay was saying. And we do pray that you will surround yourself with a community of believers who can support you and pray with you through your difficult time. We'd also like to mention a phenomenal suicide prevention resource that is freely available on our website, aimed at preventing teen suicide. It's called Alive to Thrive, and in it you will learn about issues that we know can lead to suicide and be taught how to address them long before your child might ever entertain thoughts of ending his or her life. To begin the six-part program, please visit safamily.co.za and click on the Alive to Thrive icon. And then also look out for Kay's book called Choose Joy, in which she shows readers, even those who live with the constant companions of discouragement and depression, that true joy is deeper, richer, and more accessible than you may think. You'll find it online at safamily.co.za or give us a call on 031-716-3300. Before I go, I'd like to remind you of our Radical Marriage event starting next week, 13th of August, with Dr. Steve Bass. Steve has worked with families for over 30 years, helping families and marriages move from good to great. We start the tour at Growth Point Church in Rustenburg on the 13th of August and travel to Pretoria, Pietermaritzburg, and Cape Town. Tickets are 50 Rand and available through Quicket. Please check out all the details at safamily.co.za and join us for some fun, great resource specials and giveaways and an investment into your marriage. Thanks for being with us today. For Focus on the Family Africa, I'm Graham Schnell, inviting you back for the conclusion of our program with Kay Warren tomorrow, when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.